Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The fog would appear to be burning off rather rapidly, but that's here. I have no idea what it is where you are, so be safe. If you have any tips about fog or that you can safely report, you can text them in 504-260-1870. As well as today, we're looking for the best, in your opinion, streaming series or TV series of all times. You can text them in 504-260-1870. We'll compile a list. I'll give you the top five results in the 9 o'clock hour. Jill Watford joins us now, economist with the Bank of America Institute. Talk about Americans living paycheck to paycheck. How you doing, Joe? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for
hope
taking
you're doing well.
Yes, sir, I am. Tell me about the situation with Americans living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. Thank you, Tommy. Yeah. So, you know, just real quick, you know, at Bank of America, we have 70 million consumer and small business clients, right? And that gives us like this an incredible data set. And it allows us to see really important economic insights and socioeconomic insights, right? So we found that nearly one in four U.S. households are living paycheck to paycheck. I think that's nearly 30 million households in the U.S. Are living paycheck to paycheck, right?
Right. Does that necessarily follow with what a K-shaped economy would indicate? And before we get to that, maybe you can tell me what a K-shaped economy is.
That's a great question, Tommy. So if you can imagine a K, and all your listeners can imagine a K, like one part of the leg is going up and one part of the leg is going down, right? And that's a bit what we're seeing, because actually when we look at the increase in the number of households living paycheck to paycheck compared to last year, that's been primarily concentrated in these lower income households. Higher income households are seeing stronger wage growth, in fact, stronger than, you know, the cost of living increases, while lower income households are really struggling to keep up.
So the people that are doing well are doing okay. The people that are not doing well aren't doing well at all. Pretty much accurate?
That's an accurate assessment, Tommy. That's a great summation. It's kind of a thing that since COVID, the people, the majority, I think, you know, not to be too doom and gloom, right? We found that the majority of U.S. households appear to be in sound financial position. They appear to be doing pretty good, right? We're doing okay. And that share hasn't decreased. But within the minority of Americans that aren't doing well, there's just been a continuous amount of pressure, both, you know, compared to last year and compared to pre-COVID. Things just keep getting more expensive, right? It's hard out there.
Does it break down as far as that 25% goes? Is this consistently a 25% people of one particular instance or the other? Are they people without education, people with a lot of student debt, no education, no job? Explain that to me. Well, obviously, they have a job, or they wouldn't be living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. So what we found in this particular study was that it was 29% of lower income households were living paycheck to paycheck, right? And that goes, the share kind of decreases, 20% of higher income households live paycheck to paycheck, probably, you know, mostly due to lifestyle creep. You know, you buy a house, you buy a car, before you know it, all your money's going out to bills. But we also found that this was especially hitting like lower income millennials and Gen X pretty hard, right? And that's because higher income millennials are seeing 6 times faster wage growth than lower income families in that same generation. Higher income Gen X are seeing 4% wage growth, while lower income Gen Xers are seeing no wage growth. And when things just keep getting more expensive, but you're not making any more money, how are you supposed to, you know, to keep up with that? And I think the short answer is some families are really struggling too, right?
So when it comes to the Gen Zers, I'm getting my generations confused here. Who is it that's hurting the most?
This is probably hurting baby boomers the most, but we're not seeing more baby boomers, right? And we're seeing this real increase. This increased pressure is in the Gen X and the millennials.
Okay, and is that because, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, will they eventually get their turn, or are they doomed to, this is their new reality and this is the way the economy is going to be for them for the rest of their life?
I think, millennials and Gen X are really in this special situation where they're sandwiched right now, right? And it's right now. You have millennials and Gen X that are taking care of elder relatives, right? They could be taking care of their parents and their kids at the same time, right? And that's putting extra pressure on them. I mean, taking kids care of kids alone is expensive and it's difficult. I mean, I got 3 under 3, right? Mm. So kids are expensive, but if you're taking care of both, I think that's really putting particular pressure on those generations.
So when it comes to things changing, do they have hope or not?
Well, that's a good question. I think that, you know, here's the thing.
What I'm thinking, Joe, it's one thing to be, okay, I'm living paycheck to paycheck now, but eventually whoever's in my way now in terms of advancement will get out of the way. Eventually I'll get the job. Eventually I'll get the money. Eventually I'll have what they have. That's one thing. But if it's a situation of this is the rest of my life, well, that's something different, right?
The rest of your life is like, it's hard to predict, right? That's a long, hopefully it's a long, long time for these people, right? But for right now, you know, for the foreseeable future, it's tough, you know, because the labor, we reported in another piece that the labor market is cooling. It's not outright deteriorating, but it's cooling. So it's a tough time to find greener pastures. So at least for right now, I think things are going to continue to be tough for these households.
See, and that's,
hopefully we do see a pickup.
That explains why I have a hard time getting a handle on the economy, give me a picture of the economy, a snapshot, because if it's K-shaped, well, if you're at the top of the K, you're doing pretty well. If you're heading on, if you're at the part of the K that's going up, well, then you're going to say the economy's great, right? But if you're on the part of the K that's going down, then you're going to say the economy's not working for me. And it seems as though, Joe, that it always comes down to, is it working for you or not? If it's working for you, not you personally, but if it's working for the individual, then therefore they think everything's great. If it's not working for them, well, then
yeah,
it's not working.
I mean, you nailed it, Tommy. I mean, I could have said it better myself. So maybe I need to be interviewing you. But
well, no, I've just been doing this for a while, and I don't care if it's healthcare, I don't care if it's insurance, I don't care if it's the economy, whatever it is. If it's working for you, you don't want to touch it. If it's not working for you, then you want it changed. And one of my favorite things is when people text in and say, keep the government out of my Medicare. That is one of my all-time favorites. We'll take a break, pick it up with Joe Wadford when we come back. Economist with the Bank of America Institute talking about 1 in 4 households living paycheck to paycheck. We'll get a definition on that. Also talk about what are they falling behind on when it comes to bills and how important of an indicator that could be. 620, traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Joe Wadford, economist with the Bank of America Institute. 1 in 4 households living paycheck to paycheck. Why are so many American families struggling? And I'll ask you, how have the last couple of years been for you? And we're breaking down a new report from the Bank of America. How can I phrase this, Joe? Break it down for me, if you would, in terms of what people are getting behind on and what kind of indication that is of the economy.
Yeah, I think, you know, what people are feeling pressured, you know, especially with, rent, you know, utilities, food, groceries, you know, inflation's up, what, 30% compared to pre-COVID, right? That's an tremendous amount. You still, especially in the South, you still have cost of living increases, especially when it comes to rent, you know, house prices keep going up. There's a lot of demand. A lot of people move down here during COVID, and that just put a lot of pressure on houses, which is everybody's biggest expense, or at least most people's biggest expense, right?
Mm-hmm. What about cars?
Cars. Yeah, cars is another thing. We saw that, you know, I think we saw that the majority of consumers have a car payment over $500, between like $500 and $1,000. And that's just, that's a completely different world than we were living in pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. So cars are expensive. I mean, it almost seems like everything's more expensive, right? And then outside of that, you know, and this is, and that's just the necessities too. And that's just, that doesn't even include like, if you want like some more, you know, electronics or jewelry or clothing or anything like that. Even if you want to treat yourself, in the recent report, we found that people were spending more money, but they were getting less. I mean, there's like these price increases, especially with tariff related price increases for clothing, electronics, jewelry. So you name it, you know, it seems like prices increases. One thing that consumers are getting a little bit of relief in is at the pump. Mm-hmm. You know, prices are down year over year. So at least they're getting a little bit of relief there.
Tell me about the baby boomers. That was interesting to me.
Yeah. So we found that the largest share of any other generation of people living paycheck to paycheck are baby boomers. Now, it could be that's because baby boomers aren't necessarily living primarily off of paychecks. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are retired, you know, and this doesn't include retirement income. This doesn't include money from investments. This, you know, if you sell Bitcoin, this doesn't include proceeds from that. So it could be that this number is, you know, overstating how many baby boomers are living paycheck to paycheck, but it could be also that, you know, a fair amount of baby boomers are struggling out there.
Is this about self-reporting? Do you ask people, are you living paycheck to paycheck?
No, I think that's the kind of the beauty of what we're looking at, right? We're actually looking at the data. We're looking at people's paychecks coming into their deposit accounts and then their outflows to things like childcare, housing, groceries, bills, So it's looking at the actual data, and we're cutting through the noise. I mean, I see some surveys that show that like 50-60% of households are living paycheck to paycheck, but the actual number is closer to 1 in 4.
So what hope
Still
do
a lot, though.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The people at the bottom of the K have, what do they, I guess I'm trying to figure out, how do they get to the top, to the other part of the K, or does the economy have to change?
Yeah, I think the economy has to change, right? So what we're seeing, what we saw during COVID was that there was a lot of, or like right after COVID, is there's a lot of wage growth for lower income households. And now some of these households are working in things like, you know, restaurants, we travel. But those are also the industries most hit right now by like consumer spending slowdown. So people aren't splurging as much anymore. I think, you know, just because these prices are getting to them, and that's really affecting, you know, labor in that industry.
So bottom line is that inflation is outpacing salary increases for those that are not on the top part of the K.
Bottom line, higher income households and lower income households are living in two completely different worlds, at least economically speaking.
It goes back to disparity of income. Accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. It all boils down to wage growth. Yeah, if your bills are increasing by $300 a month, but you only have $100 more, it's going to be hard to make ends meet.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Joe Wadford, economist with the Bank of America Institute. We'll talk with Captain Michael Glasser with Pano about the consent decree when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Got some fog out there. Be careful. Otherwise, another spring-like day, which is odd considering we're like, what, 9 days away from Thanksgiving? But maybe it'll cool off by then. We'll see. Michael Glasser joins us now. Captain Michael Glasser, president of Pano Police Association of New Orleans. How you doing, Captain? Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Tell me what's going on with the consent decree and what's going to happen, I guess, Wednesday, and what role Pano how Pano feels about all of this.
Well, hopefully tomorrow, sometime between 11 and 1, we will formally get out of the consent decree, and it will end that particular chapter for the management of our department.
How has the department changed? What has been the effect of the consent decree on the department? Let me ask it that way, in so many different ways, in terms of day-to-day patrolling, in terms of morale, in terms of manpower, you name it.
Well, unfortunately, you named all the things that it negatively impacted. Let me just say on the front end that, you know, consent decrees largely contain things that are just the evolution of modern policing. There are things that we needed to do and should have done, and it's good that we did do that's consistent with the consent decree. And to make that happen, we completely remodeled our department regulations to reflect the consent decree. So everything that's in the consent decree is what we do. That is the way the department operates now. And when you consider that this was supposed to be a 4 to 6 year consent decree and it became a 12 year consent decree, literally everyone hired in the last 12 years, which is probably three quarters of the department, have never policed any other way. That's the only way they know how to do it. There is no old way to go back to for them because there is no old way. This is the only thing they know. So for the most part, to that extent, it's been very positive in some of those changes. Where it wasn't positive is it's labor intensive. And of course, as you know, we're short on labor. We're 850 perhaps working cops right now. We should have 1,200 to 1,600, depending upon whose opinion you go by. But certainly 800 is not where we belong. And when you have a labor intensive project like the consent decree, and it draws a great deal of resources from the actual act of policing, that's a problem for us. It wasn't good for morale. It wasn't good for crime fighting, per se, because the consent decree basically dealt with how the police department interacts with the public. A very important thing and things that we did get straightened out, but it doesn't have anything to do with how we address crime. And unfortunately, that's our primary goal, too, is not only to gain the trust and confidence of the public, but one of the ways we do that is by suppressing crime. Now, fortunately, we have had some pretty good years, the last 2 years, in doing that. The year before that, well, not so much. But we've made some progress. What we're hoping for now is now that we have the department, or will have the department back under exclusive NOPD control, two things will happen. One is we're not spending the enormous amount of money that we did. The consent decree cost us probably somewhere north of $150 million over its lifetime, and $20-plus million just to the consent decree monitors alone. So that will go away, and we won't have that burden. And then we have the ability now to run our department and tailor it for what we need, not just what the federal government thinks we need. So it's I see it as coming along as an improvement. We got the benefits, and now we'll turn around and get the autonomy back that we really need.
How is it going to look different to the average person on the street, or is it?
It probably won't. Most of those things are internal mechanisms. The degree of redundancy and oversight that we had was just enormous, and that will free up when we don't have to do that. Now those programs are implemented, so the oversight really isn't that necessary. So we can reduce that down and put people back into the field and doing police work as opposed to administrative work that we were burdened with. So they won't see it per se, but it will benefit us completely because we'll have more cops doing more police work instead of administrative work.
Did I see that a fourth of the department about, or maybe even more, were hired after the consent decree? And does that change the nature of policing at all?
Well, sure. You know, as I told you earlier, we've had this consent decree for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And when you take a look at what we've hired, we've generally lost and hired somewhere around 100 cops or 100 recruits every year. We lose about 100, we gain about 100. Sometimes we get a little more, sometimes a little less. But when you look at that, we've turned over the entire department to a large extent in the last 12 years. So So most of the people that are working here now have never seen anything else, but that's the only thing they know. And it's because it's built into our department regulations. They have never heard of or seen the things that brought us to that point. Mm-hmm. So we have basically a new department. And, you know, I think it's going to function well, especially now that we'll have some autonomy back and get back a little bit of what we needed to do to get this crime down and keep it down.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Captain Michael Glasser, president of PANO, about the consent decree going away tomorrow. We'll talk about this two-year period that was supposed to be there that I don't think is going to be there. We'll see. 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 657, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Captain Michael Glasser, president of PANO, Public Police Association of New Orleans, about the consent decree that should, as far as everybody thinks, or is presuming, go away tomorrow, correct, at the hearing at Loyola with Judge Morgan?
That's what we anticipate, Tommy.
All right, so let me ask you this. There was supposed to be a period where we were under some kind of, I forgot exactly the phrase that they used, monitoring period. Is that going away, Captain, or is that still going to be there?
No, that's going away. The whole thing is going away at this point. You know, we like I said, this consent decree was designed or intended or anticipated to be 4 to 6 years. It's been 12. Okay, so we've had more than enough monitoring periods at this point. And finally, the Department of Justice and the city both agree that we are where we're supposed to be, and it's time for this to end and allow us to work on our own. And we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a big benefit to the department and the public, and for those people that are worried about without the federal monitors, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. We're going to police the same way we've been policing, and in fact, better.
So why is it going to be a benefit to the department? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, number one, we don't have the expenditure, but number two, it's the redundancy and the oversight. That, you know, the best analogy I can give you is this. You know, when you get in your car, you know, you don't check the tire tread every day. You don't check the oil pressure every time you get in the car. You don't check the power steering fluid. You don't check the transmission fluid. You know, those are things you check periodically or when they seem to give you a problem, but you don't do it every single time you get in and out of the car because you'd never get anywhere if you did that. That's kind of like where we are. We have so many things that we have to do to make sure that things are getting done that we don't have time to actually do them. And it is that oversight and redundancy that we're getting rid of. Those policies are in place, they're functional, they're working, and we have the ability to perform that oversight much more efficiently.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Captain Michael Glasser, president of PANO Police Association of New Orleans. 6:59, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Anita Raj, executive director of Tulane University's Newcomb Institute. Violence in Louisiana has been on decline, but more than half of the people in the state say they've been the victim at some point in their life. And I'll ask you, have you or a loved one been affected by violence? Not necessarily a victim, but affected by it. I'm also taking your text, 504-260-1870. Best streaming or TV series ever?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.